Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The transformation of Bartimaeus. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we preach the Bible. Thank you for the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that you just don't save us and then leave us alone. But you save us, you send your Spirit then to possess us, and then you begin the sanctification process in our life, Lord. May we understand it. May we embrace it. May we want to be like you. Thank you, dear Lord, for the men that you've already sent and those that are on their way this year, Lord willing, that will stand and give testimony to the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll use these things to stir us, dear God, and Lord, to help us not to ever give up on anybody. Lord, you can not only save to the uttermost, you can save to the guttermost. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to maybe look at that one that maybe everybody else is ignoring and everybody else has given up on. And we would, Lord, pray and see a miracle in their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I mentioned in my prayer that we have on the schedule this year 9 different men. We have scheduled 10 different men, but 9 different men that we have locked in that's agreed 100% for sure. We have one man, according to his health, may or may not be with us. But how many was here on January 27th to hear Courtney Lewis give his testimony on a Sunday night? Wasn't that remarkable? Wasn't that amazing? To think God could reach down on the in gangland Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, and find a bitter and angry young man and put him on a church bus and get him to Jesus and transform his life. And now these years later, him, his sweet wife, their children, back into the very neighborhood that he was raised, only this time not to wreak havoc, but to start an independent fundamental Baptist church. Brother Courtney Lewis was a blessing to us. And then just a couple weeks ago, God sent to us Glenn Yoder from an Amish buggy to a Baptist pulpit. And boy, Brother Yoder, I loved everything he said. I loved everything he preached. But if he didn't do anything else but come to our church and walk around and shake hands and smile, and we could just catch his spirit. I hope that you got that. You know, folks, listen to me. Yeah, I get it. Nobody's batting 1,000, and everybody, if you want to, can point to some circumstance in your life that's less than idea. But I love it when somebody comes in that has 1,000 reasons not to be happy, but they're happy anyway. And 1,000 reasons, as he preached from this pulpit just a couple weeks ago, to decide to be a victim, only instead he decides to be a victor. And what a great message. And then, folks, on June 2nd, we'll have Burton Gates, Lord willing, and he'll be flying in from inner city Philadelphia, where he started churches there, and God's using him. But from a bar bouncer and drug addict to a Baptist pulpit, he'll give his testimony. Brother Gomez, I don't know if our church will survive it or not, but we're bringing in the Louisiana Swamp Man. Yeah, this was the original. Before they ever come up with a TV show, this was the original. And God, boy, wait till you hear his salvation testimony. And then Brother Ryan Nez, we're going to fly in from the Navajo Indian Reservation. What an amazing testimony. You don't want to miss that. August 18th, 2019. Mark that Sunday night. I mean, move heaven and earth, but be here. And then Brother Comfort's been here before, but he's going to give in much more detail than he ever has his salvation testimony on a Sunday night. He sent me just the other day his autobiography. He started it 30 years ago, 20 years ago maybe. I think he said 20 years ago, and then laid it aside, just got busy in ministry. And here he is now in his 80s, and he pulled it back out, and the Lord let him complete it. I said, brother, you didn't want to write your autobiography in your 60s. God had a lot more left for you to do. And so he's going to come in, and we're going to make that book available. And folks, what a testimony. And then Sam Gipp, one of the most remarkable men that's being used across the nation. If you've never heard him before, folks, again, don't miss Sam Gipp. And boy, he grew up rough and stole cars and was a street thug, but God got a hold of his heart and was saved. And Brother Russ, he comes every year, and he always refers some to his testimony, but I'm going to have him really on Sunday night give, again, a detailed testimony. Started out in country western radio, and the Lord saved his soul, and he became a Baptist preacher. And then Chris Dallas, in January of next year, I was able to get Brother Dallas, and he's doing a phenomenal job. Our young people heard Brother Chris Dallas a couple times at the youth conference they were. Just a dynamic preacher, amazing testimony. What are you doing, preacher? I'm setting up the message. I'm giving an introduction here. I want you to know that you know what? We're going to read back when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, and we're going to see today how a man's life was completely transformed. But you know what? This is still happening today. It's happening across the country today. And I want to encourage your heart by just looking at blind Bartimaeus this morning and see how God changed him and look at the miracle of his life. And you know what I like about blind Bartimaeus? Let me make this the first point. Blind Bartimaeus refused to miss his chance to meet Jesus Christ. He just refused to miss his chance. And we see this in the opening verses that in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, a great company's going by, Bible says, a great number of people. I'm sure as a blind man, blind Bartimaeus is thinking to himself, well, this is not the Sabbath. This is a normal day. There's no parade. This isn't a festival. What's going on? Maybe he's saying it to people, what's going on? Why all the people? Shh. What's going on? Why all the people? Finally, somebody walks over and explains to him, hey, I don't know if you've ever heard of a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And folks, that's all he has to hear. He just has to hear that name. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what that tells me? This is what I wrote down, and I went back. And we're in Mark chapter number 10. But I just went back just in this gospel, in the previous 9 chapters, and I thought to myself, why did Bartimaeus know who Jesus was? And I went back to Mark chapter 1 and verse 23 and 28. You want to take a little journey for a minute here? We're just a few chapters back. Mark chapter 1. And I looked at verse number 23 through verse number 28. And look what happened. A man came to church. A man came to church. But he came being possessed with an unclean spirit. Notice what happened here. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Can you imagine if somebody stood up in the middle of the preaching service this morning and all of a sudden came out with something like that? It happened in church. It happened in church. The Bible says that, verse 25, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. He wasn't rebuking the man. He was rebuking the unclean spirits. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? And for what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him? And I don't know. I don't know, folks. I'm just going to throw some things out there. I wonder if blind Bartimaeus is begging in Jericho, and weeks later, this man comes into Jericho, and he stops and sees this blind man, and he maybe shares a few alms with him. And he said, you know what? I used to be afflicted. For years, I've wrestled with demonic possession. But there was a man by the name of Jesus. And he came. I heard he was preaching, and I went to the church, and I didn't know if I'd get help or not, but I went hoping. And that demonic spirit embarrassed me and made me do foolish things. But Jesus looked past what was controlling me, and he rebuked that, and he made it flee out of my life, and I found him. I found the Savior. Hey, Bartimaeus, his name's Jesus. If he ever comes through, don't miss your chance. Don't miss your chance. Or maybe verse number 40 of the same chapter. This happened prior to chapter 10. There was a leper to whom came beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. You know what? I don't know. Maybe this man was on a journey a week or two later, and he comes by Jericho and he sees this blind man sitting on the side. And you know what? Just as Jesus had compassion on him and his leprosy, he looked at that blind man as maybe he would have not looked at him before, and he walks over and maybe he shares a few alms, or maybe he just takes a loaf of bread and breaks it in half and hands it to him. And he sits down and says, what's your name? And I see that you're afflicted. Let me tell you my story. Just a few weeks ago, I was a leper. I wasn't even allowed to walk into a town like Jericho. And everywhere I went, I was required by the law of Moses to yell, unclean, unclean, to warn everyone else. And children would stop and throw rocks at me if I got too close to the city. And men would come out with staffs and push me away. And yet, there was this man. And his name was Jesus. And he came through. And I went and saw him, and I feel my hands. No, it's okay. I know I had leprosy, but trust me, feel my hands. And Bartimaeus maybe fearfully reaches out, but the hands are clean and whole, and he reaches up in his ears, and his face is made whole. And I mean, it's almost like touching the flesh of a newborn baby. And he said, it's a miracle. And he said, don't forget, his name is Jesus. If anybody ever says his name or tells you that he's passing by, don't miss that chance to meet him. How about that? Well, that's not the only one. Let's look over in chapter number 1, verse 29. By the way, Jesus has been pretty busy here, folks. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 29, there's a man, one of his disciples, by the name of Simon Peter, who actually likes his mother-in-law. Hey, look at that. What a good example for all of us right here in the scriptures. And the Bible says in verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left, and she ministered unto him. And maybe, just maybe, she had some relatives over in Jericho, and she went to see them, and she saw a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. By the way, folks, if there's a blind Bartimaeus anywhere near Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and they're not getting this kind of a story from the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a regular basis, we're not doing our job. We're not doing our job. And maybe she goes over and she sits down beside him and said, I was sick to death, sick with the fever. And I see that you're blind, and I see the condition of your life, and I know you're not happy, but there was a man. And he says, wait, can I guess? What's his name? Jesus? Yes! Do you know my son is what? My son-in-law? My son-in-law? Here's a stranger thing. A mother-in-law bragging on a son-in-law. Did you know my son-in-law is one of his disciples? He's trained to be a preacher under Jesus. If he ever comes by, don't miss your chance. Don't miss your chance. Then we get into chapter 2. Folks, preacher, we're going to be here all day. Amen. This is a good place to get stuck if we're going to get stuck somewhere. And there's a palsied man. And you know what? He can't get up. He can't walk. He can't get to Jesus. But thank God he had four friends. And you know what they do? They build a litter and they put him on it, and they try to get him to Jesus, get him into the house, but the place is packed and jammed, and they can't get him in there. So one of those guys say, let's get him up on the roof. And these four guys come up with this crazy plan. And next thing you know, they're on the roof and they're breaking up the tile and they're breaking up the roof and they're lowering him down. And in chapter 2, The Bible says in verse number 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Folks, a man with palsy is paralyzed. There was a reason he couldn't walk. He was paralyzed. Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now this guy does not have any relatives in Jericho. You know what he's doing? He's just walking. He started when he got healed, and he hasn't been able to stop. You know why? Because he can finally walk. And he says, hey, I've been going everywhere. Let me sit down. I've been going everywhere. Let me tell you my story. And he said, you know what? I was afflicted with a disease or some kind of a mysterious virus. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I lost use of my limbs. And maybe it was an accident where he fell from a ladder or fell off of a roof. I don't know what his situation was. But he said, all I could do is lay in bed. And I did that for months, and I did it for years, and I felt sorry for myself. But I had some friends, and they heard about a guy. No, no, stop. Is it Jesus? Yes, it's Jesus, if he ever comes by. Don't miss your opportunity to meet Jesus. And we go over to chapter 3 in the first 5 verses, and maybe a guy comes into Jericho, and walks over to blind Bartimaeus, and he said, now I know you can't see, but I want you to feel my right hand, or my left hand. You feel my left hand, feel it. And blind Bartimaeus, what in the world? Just feel my left hand. I'm telling you a story. And now feel my right hand. Now feel my left. Now feel my right. Do they feel the same? Yeah, they both feel the same. Well, they didn't used to be. I had a withered hand. But then there was this man. And blind Bartimaeus, tears running out of those blind eyes, says, I know who he is. I wish he'd come by. I wish he'd come. Well, if he ever, I know. If he ever comes by and I ever get a chance, I'm not going to miss it. Folks, how much time do you want to take? We can go to Mark chapter 5 and see the maniac there. And maybe he came by Jericho and said, I used to live in the tombs and cut myself with stones, and I was the original boogeyman. But Jesus saved me. If you ever get a chance, or maybe Jairus comes, Mark chapter 5, with his little daughter Talitha. And you know what? Jairus said, hey, I want you to meet my daughter. And I know you're blind. Oh, but she's pretty. And oh, she's precious. But she was dead, and now she lives. And if you ever get a chance, I know, it was Jesus, wasn't it? Or maybe some of the woman with 12 years of a physical infirmity from Mark chapter 5, maybe she's the one that comes by. Or some of the 5,000 men who were fed from a boy's basket lunch in Mark chapter 6, maybe some of them come by. Or maybe it's the Greek woman whose daughter was delivered from a demon possession in Mark chapter 7, or the deaf and dumb man who was healed near the coast of Decapolis, or some of the 4,000 who were miraculously fed from 7 loaves in Mark chapter 8, or I got to show you this one. Go to Mark chapter 8, because you don't think this didn't give Bartimaeus some hope. Mark chapter 8, and look at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him, a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his own house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And maybe this guy's traveling through, and he's trying to keep his promise to Jesus. I mean, Jesus said, I can't have you telling everybody this. I'm going to be mobbed. I'll never get anything done. But then he goes into Jericho, and he looks over, and when he sees Bartimaeus, he sees himself. And he said, you know what? I used to be that man, and I used to be begging. And he walks over, and he sits down, and he says in a whisper, hey, can you keep a seat? You're not going to believe this. And maybe blind Bartimaeus said, wait, you weren't palsied? No, you weren't crippled? No, no withered hand? No, deaf, dumb? No, didn't eat bread miraculously? No, tell me again, please. I was blind, you were blind. Maybe Bartimaeus had spent hours thinking, well, you know, he can overcome the demons, but I'm not demon possessed. He can raise the dead, but I'm not dead. He can touch a woman with a physical infirmity. He can heal a withered hand. He can even heal a mother-in-law. I mean, miraculous there. Greek woman whose daughter was delivered of demon possession. But can he heal the blind? You don't think that didn't give him hope? What do you think about that? Or maybe it was Mark chapter 9, the man that came with the lunatic son. I don't know, folks. All these miracles had happened before Jesus came to Jericho. Twice the book of Mark tells us that these people were made whole by Christ and they could not be restrained. They could not be quieted. They could not be hushed. They could not hold back. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible says that after the unclean spirit was torn from him, immediately his fame spread abroad through all the regions around Galilee. In Mark chapter 1, verse 42 through 45, and when he cleanses this man, and the Bible says that he went out and began to publish it and to blaze abroad the matter, in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. In Mark chapter 5, the word's gotten out, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it and to Capitalist, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Preacher, you're trying to make a point here. I am. Folks, listen to me. Somebody had told Bartimaeus about Jesus before he ever had a chance to meet him. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And I think there'd be a lot more miraculous conversions if there was a lot more of us that have experienced a miraculous conversion that would talk about it and tell about it and testify about it. Let's speak up. Let's speak up. Let's speak up. One of the greatest weapons that every Christian has against the devil is his personal testimony, his or her personal testimony. You don't know how powerful it is, folks. Don't hide it in a closet. Don't lock it up. Don't lock it down. Don't keep it quiet. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. When they came by and said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. You know what? Bartimaeus had heard this name before. And you know what he'd made up his mind? You know what? If he's helped all these other people, if all these stories and all these rumors, if there's any truth to them, if he ever gets within shouting distance, I'm not going to quit shouting. I'm not going to quit calling. I'm not going to miss my chance to meet Jesus. Whew. Are you here today? You know you have a chance to meet Jesus. You know, Bartimaeus could have said, well, you know what, maybe I'll wait till next time, but there may not have been a next time. He did the wisest thing that any man could do. When he had an opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, he took advantage of it. He reacted right away. Number two, we see that blind Bartimaeus refused to listen to those who told him to hold his peace. Now, while he's shouting, while he's carrying on, you know what, there's always those that are going to try to quiet that person down. Someone maybe said, now listen, Jesus is busy. You can bother him some other time. But you know what? He wasn't having any of that. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. And the more they told him to hush, the louder he got. Maybe someone come along and said, he doesn't have time for a blind beggar. Have mercy on me. Another person said, you don't understand. He doesn't care about poor people. Have mercy on me. Someone said, you're going to make a fool out of yourself, a spectacle. People are starting to look at you. You're going to be embarrassed. And he said, I don't care. This is my chance. I'm not missing it. There's someone in your life trying to discourage you from coming to church. Come on now. Is there someone in your life who Satan is using to try to keep you from being saved? Trying to keep you from being saved? Is the devil whispering in your ear telling you that Jesus doesn't love you, that Jesus wouldn't forgive you, that salvation is for other people, but it's just not for you? Let me tell you something. That's the devil saying that. Don't listen to those people. Don't listen to those people. Don't listen to those people. Young man, young lady, sooner or later, there's going to be somebody coming to your life, maybe a new friend, and you're going to tell them you ride the bus to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and they're going to start maybe poking fun at you. Oh, you go to Sunday school? Oh, you're a church girl or a church boy? And if you're not careful, you're going to let that influence get you and pry you away from the Savior and pry you away from the church that's taught you about the Savior. Listen, don't listen to those voices. Don't listen to those voices. The devil will use other people to try to keep you from being saved. My dad stood in this pulpit many times, told the story of going to Cambridge, Maryland. My dad left this church here in 1980, and he went out to Cambridge, Maryland, and started a brand new church. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, I've been out there a couple times. Cambridge, Maryland is one of the wicked, most wicked cities. I'm talking about, folks, I talk about satanic strongholds. I don't know what it is today, but I know what it was back then. And I'm going to tell you something. There was an evil presence. And I believe my dad was called there to spend a couple years preaching on the radio and knocking on doors and seeing a handful of people saved, but mostly to be a voice and a witness against the wickedness of that city. He sat in a man's living room. You've heard him, if you were under his ministry, you've heard him tell this story. He sat in a man's living room, a man that he had met, a man that he had gotten a burden for, a man that needed to be saved. And he began to share the gospel with that man and read through the Bible and go through that old Romans road and explain to him how to be saved. His wife is busy in the kitchen, but she begins to hear what the preacher's saying. She comes in for a while and nervously hovers near him, sits beside him. But when Dad gets to the point where he's inviting him to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, this wife jumps up, runs around behind the couch where he's sitting, puts her hands physically over his ears, and begins to scream at my dad, "Stop! Stop telling him these things! Stop telling him these things! You don't need to hear this! You don't need to hear this! You don't need to hear this!" Dad said that man was, he said, I was watching that man as I was going through the scriptures, experienced Holy Spirit conviction, and I was watching. He said, if I thought if anybody's going to get saved, this man's going to get saved. And the devil used somebody to physically put their hand. Listen, somebody might not come up to you and physically put their hands over your ear, but they're that little sneaky voice that's hovering around the fringes of your life, making sarcastic comments and trying to discourage you from coming to church and from accepting Christ and from having your life changed. Come on, I'm talking about the old drinking crowd. They're not going to be excited you're in church. I'm not talking about the old druggy crowd. When they see you, all they see is a dollar bill. Somebody to take advantage of, and you start talking about that you're going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they're going to start trying to pull you away. You know what? Thank God this man may have been blind, but there's some things he could see clearly, and he could clearly see that, you know what? These people who are trying to keep him from Jesus was not going to keep him from Jesus. Folks, you think those folks, those friends of yours are going to be any comfort to you when you're burning in a devil's hell? You know what? They're going to be of no comfort to you then. You don't want to go to hell. Go to hell because some friend put a little pressure on you. Go to hell because some family member told you, you know, you start riding that bus going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they'll turn you into a fanatic. They've done it before. They'll do it again. Come on now. What I'm saying is there's always going to be those voices. Hey, preacher, tell the end of the story. That man that was under deep conviction when his wife finally pulled her hands away and stormed back into the kitchen. My dad tried to pick up where he left off. And all of a sudden, that man would do nothing but just shake his head no, shake his head no, shake his head no. So close, so close. Oh, young people, please, please, come on, adults, please, be careful who you're listening to. The person who you think is your best friend could be your worst enemy, could be your worst enemy. Tell us more about blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus got the Savior's attention because of how he called to him. How he called to him. This is fun to look at. Look, if you will, in verse number 47. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He said, "Preacher, what's so unusual about the way he called?" Well, let me just say this. He called on the right name. He called on the right name. Let's go all the way back to Mary and Joseph, and here he's espoused to Mary. They are engaged. They've never come together as a couple, but suddenly she is with child, and you can imagine Joseph's confusion. And do I put her away? Do I take her to wife? What is going on? And the Bible tells us that an angel appears to Joseph. And he says this, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son." Are you listening? "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I'm glad the King James Holy Bible properly interpreted Jesus' name and properly recorded his name. Capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him," here's another name, "Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. So Jesus wasn't only the Savior, Jesus was God, God the Son, and the Son of God. And the Bible says, "I love Joseph." Then Joseph, being raised up from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S, Jesus. That's the name Bartimaeus called, Jesus. Jesus asked a question of his disciples. In Matthew 16, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" I love Brother Peter. You know, the one that loved his mother-in-law. There he is again. "Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Bunch of disciples healed a man as they were walking into the temple in Acts chapter 4, and they got in trouble for it. Got in trouble for healing a lame man. And you know what? Next thing you know, the religious bigwigs, the rulers, elders, scribes, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander. I remember these buzzards. I've seen their name before. They're the same ones that had Jesus arrested. They're the ones that ran that kangaroo court that condemned him to death and took him to Pilate. I know these guys. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power," oh, what a question, "by what power or by what name have you done this?" You talk about opening the gate and for a preacher. You talk about a prime introduction to a message. "By what power, by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither," watch this, "neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's power in that name. You know what? You can scream Allah. You can slash yourself while you're doing it. And you can call upon the name of Allah from the day you're born to the day you die, and you'll go to hell. But if you have a heart full of repentance and you call out Jesus' name, you can be saved. You can be born again. One of my favorite stories is me and Cheryl, when we bought the property, the place we live now, back in 1994, we had some of the sweetest neighbors that lived just to the east of us, Robert and Elizabeth Wright. And they were just a precious, precious people, good neighbors. Our daughters adopted them. Every time Cheryl made cookies at our house, our little daughters, who were small then, would just say, Mom, we've got to run over a plate of cookies for the Wrights." And I can look out and still remember those little girls, three of them, one carrying a plate, two of them tried to help, and they'd run down our lane and get to the gravel road and cut across and get into their lane and run up and knock on the door and give cookies to the Wrights. I got to build a relationship with them, become their friends. And I had a chance to stand by the fence one day. You know when neighbors used to stand by the fence? You know, good fence makes good neighbors, amen. But stand by the fence there and chat with her. And I inquired about her salvation, asked her. She gave me, by the way, raised in an old-time, old-fashioned Methodist church. Thank God for them old Methodist preachers that preach the gospel. She gave me a crystal clear testimony. She wasn't trusting on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. His finished work on Calvary. I said, I'm so glad to hear that. And I said, what about Bob? And she, tears filled her eyes. She said, preacher, I fear for him. I fear for him. Pray for him. I said, I'll not only pray. When God opens the door, I'll talk to him. It wasn't but a few weeks after that that Elizabeth ended up having to go to the hospital for just a procedure. They were going to keep her for 2 or 3 days. She called before she left. You see, her husband had had a stroke just a year or so before we moved there. And it didn't prevent him from doing most things, but it affected his speech just a little. And she was worried about it. Come on, most wives don't think their husbands can survive 2 days at home without them. And of that generation, they may have actually been true. I don't know. But she said, Jerry, would you run over while I'm in the hospital once a day and just check on Bob? I said, you know I will. You know I will. So first day I went over there, and he was out working in the yard, and he saw me coming. He got so excited. I could still see. I closed my eyes, see the big smile on his face. And he come over, and he's going like this. He said, I've been wanting to show you something. So he took me into the house, and we sat at his kitchen table, and he ran back into the bedroom, and I hear him rummaging around, and he comes out, and he's got a big family Bible. And he said, I worked, and I can't remember where it was he worked at. I think I know, but I don't want to say it wrong. But he worked at it for the same place for almost 40 years, and when he retired, they gave him a family Bible. It was inscribed with his name. It said the name of the company, the corporation that he'd worked for all that time. And he was proud of it. He knew I was a preacher, and he wanted to show me the Bible that they gave him. And I said, this is beautiful. And he sat down, and I began to flip through it. And I said, do you ever read it? And he said, no. And I kept flipping. I'm heading towards a place, folks. Amen. These are beautiful. Oh, wow. I like that. Wow. Jesus had that long of hair. Neat. All right. And yeah. And I said, can I read you a few of my favorite verses? And boy, he was all right with that. I sat there with that man and just went through the Romans road. And I began to tell him about when Jesus saved my soul. Tears welled up in his eyes. And you know what, bless his heart, I could see the conviction of God. I mean, aren't you glad that God does the work, folks? Hey, we can talk till we're blue in the face, but isn't it neat to see God get in on it? I thought about that wife laying in the hospital praying for her husband. Here I am with the opportunity, and I got down to that verse that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, I reviewed everything. He gave me an affirmative. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm on my way to hell. I know that God sent Jesus to die on the cross to purchase this gift of eternal life. I know God's handed it down to me, and I want it. I want it. And I said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bob, do you believe God keeps his promises? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you think if you called on Jesus right now, he'd save you? And he said, yes, sir, I think so. I said, let's do it. He bowed his head, tears trickling down his face. He's had this stroke. And I don't know why, but he'd talk normal most of the time, but every once in a while he'd get a word that he had a hard time saying. And he sat there and struggled. And he struggled. And he said, dear. And of all the words to get stuck on, he couldn't say Jesus. I don't know what to do. I've never faced this before. I'm praying. Oh, God, please help him. Please help him. Please help him. And all of a sudden, he took a big, deep sigh. He rested a minute, and he suddenly just burst out, dear Jesus! And he looked up at me, and I looked up at him, and he's got the biggest smile on his face. And I got the biggest smile on my face. And he taps the verse and said, I did it. Now, you know, there's the soul winning training program part of me that's like, no, you got to finish the, it's in the paperwork I send out, okay? You have to say these certain words for, and then I looked at where he's tapping and it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the, and I'm like, I said, you got it? And he's like, I got it. You know what? He got it. Because folks, salvation really happens here. Somebody that can't even speak can be saved. Because it's the heart belief. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called on the right name. He asked for the right thing. He asked for mercy. Folks, listen to me. Somebody that doesn't know that they're a sinner is not going to ask for mercy. Somebody doesn't know that they're lost and hopeless without Christ isn't going to ask for mercy. Somebody that doesn't think they're guilty is not going to, they're not going to ask for mercy. You know what this tells me? This guy knew who he was and he knew what he needed. He knew he didn't deserve the grace of God. He's not asking for justice. Boy, we Americans could learn something. He's not asking for justice. He's begging for mercy. I thought about these two men in a parable that Jesus spoke about who went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, very religious man. The other a publican, a known sinner. Pharisee stood up and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Can you imagine someone praying like that? Somebody who prays like that beside you, reach over and slap them. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what Jesus said? I tell you, this man, he's talking about the publican, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Folks, he called on the right name, he asked for the right thing, and he asked for the right person. You know what? He said, have mercy on me. I can't get saved for you. You can't get saved for me. If anybody's going to get saved, they got to take care of it themselves. Well, my grandpa was a preacher. You must be born again. But you don't understand. My mother was one of the most godly women. How many times do I hear that? Ye must be born again. You're not going to get into heaven on grandpa's coattails or mom's apron strings. You know what? You can be surrounded by Christians. Everybody in your family could be a Christian. Everybody for the last 10 generations could be a Christian. But if you don't get saved, you're going to split hell wide open. Ye must be born again. You must be born again. Amen. Brother Bartimaeus, he's figured it out. He knows what to pray. He knows what to say. For the first time, Bartimaeus' life was completely transformed. Completely transformed. Are you going to have a heart attack if I tell you that was the introduction? Talking about being transformed. Hey, preacher, what changed in Bartimaeus? First time ever, Bartimaeus was wanted. I want to say this because I want to help people. There's so many people out there that are adrift. There's so many people out there that feel like nobody loves them and nobody cares. We'd like to think that begging blind man was treated with kindness and people were generous to him. But come on, in our day and in our society, how do we treat him? I know you can tell me the horror stories and I know that they're out there and you can tell me about the con men and swindlers, but if we'll walk by him, and by the way, in this day and age, as cruel as teenagers are, some teenagers, lost teenagers, hopefully not saved teenagers, and as cruel as children are, you're not going to tell me there aren't times that they sit there and mocked him. You don't think times maybe he felt something hit his basket and he reached down there and there's a dead mouse or a bird that's been ripped in half and the children laugh as he recoils with his fingers a mess. Come on. You know how many times he's tried to ask the same people for something and they just look the other way and act like he's not even there? And you know how many times he sat there and thought, does anybody care? Does anybody want me? I wonder if the devil sat on his shoulders sometime and said, you know what, why don't you just kill yourself? Why don't you end your life? Nobody, you're a burden. You're just a problem. You're just an annoyance. I used to say, preacher, it got awful quiet in here. I'm going to tell you something. I know how the devil works, and he doesn't just work on worldly people that way. Sometimes he works right in the church house telling these same lies. Nobody cares about you. For the first, I love this, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man and saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I want to tell you this, Jesus wants you. Jesus loves you and he wants you. I don't care if the rest of the world looks down their nose at you. Jesus loves you and he cares. And by the way, he died on the cross for all of our sins. But if you were the only one on this earth that was a sinner and that needed salvation, he would have come and died for you. For the first time, let me give you some. For the first time, Bartimaeus didn't need to beg. Woo, think about that. Romans 8. 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow, you just got adopted into a rich family. How about this, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I love this. My life verse that I tried to quote here a while back and blew it. So I'm going to read it. Ephesians 3:8. I love it. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So, preacher, where does a man like that live? In some, you know, hovel, some shack, somebody's shed? I don't know where he lived, but I know what they start building in heaven for him the day that he got saved. I know where he's going to live for all eternity. And those rich men that wouldn't give him even one speck of gold, one of these days that man's going to walk on golden streets. He's going to be just fine. For the first time, Bartimaeus could see. You know, folks, when we are without Christ, we're blinded by our sin. And one of the things that happens when God reaches down and saves us and touches us is all of a sudden we can see things in a way we've never seen them before. For the first time, Bartimaeus was made whole. I love what Jesus said. He didn't just say, you know what? You can now see. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. It wasn't just his sight. He got fixed on the outside. He got fixed on the inside. Now come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. New creature in Jesus Christ. And for the first time, Bartimaeus had a purpose in life. Not going to be sitting by that road anymore. Not going to be sitting there begging anymore. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, I'm done. Let me just say this. Watch it. If you're here today and you're without Jesus Christ, Christ doesn't only want to save you. He wants to completely transform your life. Are you here without Christ? Can I ask you a question? If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? I mean, is the Lord working in your heart right now? And you say, preacher, I need to be saved. Wait a minute. Are you all of a sudden worried about the guy sitting around you, some of the guys sitting around you, some of the girls sitting around you, or what somebody might say? That's how the devil works. I want to tell you what I do. Young people, I'm going to tell you what I do. If I was anybody in this room and I didn't know I was saved, in just a minute when we have the invitation, as soon as that piano player hit the first notes of the first song, I'd leave my seat and I'd come as fast as I can up here and I'd talk to Brother Gordon. I'd say, I need to talk to somebody. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I was over in Lyons yesterday, me and my wife standing there talking to a young couple that had visited our church. And I looked at him and I said, we visited for some time. I got to know him a little bit. And I said, listen to me, before I leave, I can't leave without talking to you about eternity, I'd be a pretty lousy preacher if I walked away and didn't talk to you about eternity. What about your soul? What happens after you die? And I addressed the man, and he looked right at me, and he said, "Preacher, I am not saved, and I fear what would happen if I was to die." I looked at his sweet little wife, and she said, "Preacher, I'm not saved. But you know what? Before I pulled off the property, there were two new names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life." You know what? The only thing standing between you and getting saved is saying what they said. "I'm not saved. I need to be saved." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at a man whose life was completely transformed. Just outside of an ancient Bible city by the name of Jericho. Blind and begging, hopeless, and yet people had come by from time to time and told him about the Messiah, the chosen one, the Christ, the anointed, the miracle worker, the healer, the Savior of the world. And Jesus, there was a day when you came by, and he wasn't going to miss it. He was not going to miss his opportunity to be saved. Lord, I pray if there's a young man, young woman, Lord, boy, girl, there's an adult man, adult woman, Lord, anybody in this auditorium, and they're not 100% sure that they're saved, Jesus right now is passing by. Don't let him miss it. Don't let them miss it. Help them to come forward. Help them to be saved.